Okay, so we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians 5, so you can turn in your Bibles to that passage. What happened is that recently our church goes through the Bible every year, and we were in 1 Thessalonians for about, two or three weeks, and I came upon this passage, and I thought, this is a New Year's message right there, 16, 17, and 18. That, to me, it just, the Lord just beamed his light on it and said, this is the one. So, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. So let's go ahead and read the passage together. Has everyone found it? Okay. Paul writes to the Thessalonians and says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we ask that for your help as we seek to understand and apply these beautiful, treasured words of Scripture to our life. We pray, Lord, that this would become our way of life in 2025, that this would be our 24/7, that this would be just how we live. And to the extent that we're not there, Lord, bring us there. Bring us to the point where this is our experience daily. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we go, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. This was a hurriedly prepared message because I didn't find out that Jerome couldn't preach until this morning at 7 a.m. So I put this together as quick as I could. So I welcome, if you have input or if you have questions along the way, I welcome that this morning. But I will give you what my sense of what this passage means, and then we can discuss how to put it into practice in our lives. Okay? So what Paul is doing in this passage is giving three very brief commands. First, he tells them what they must do, and then he tells them when they should do those things. So he gives three short commands. He tells them to rejoice, pray, and thank. Rejoice, pray, and thank. And then he tells them when they should be doing these activities. Always, without ceasing, and everything. Basically, those three things mean the same thing, right? All the time. Your whole life. We should be praying, rejoicing, and thanking continually as Christians. That's the way of life God has called us to embrace and to live. A thankful life, a rejoicing life, and a prayerful life. So our entire life should be filled up with these three activities. In other words, we never take a break from them. You never go on vacation from rejoicing, thanking, and praying. You're not allowed to go on vacation from those things. This is for the rest of your life, every day of your life, throughout every day of your life. These are the kinds of things that God wants us to be doing and experiencing. We don't live this way for 6 days out of the week, and on the seventh, we take a break from it. We don't live this way for 50 weeks out of the year, and then for 2 weeks we go on vacation and we just leave these three things behind. This is our 24/7, 365 days a year mode of life that God has called every Christian to. The things Paul is going to command us to do are like breathing. Now, we're not always conscious of breathing. In fact, I'm so almost never conscious of breathing, but I do it. I even do it when I'm sleeping. All day long, 24 hours a day, my body's breathing. And if I ever stop, I die. So every person breathes constantly, and God wants every Christian to be involved in rejoicing, thanking, and praying continually. So one other thing we should notice about these three activities is at the end of verse 18, it says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I've heard people ask so many times, how can I know God's will for my life? Have you ever wondered that? What's God's will for my life? Well, we know what God's will is for our life. He tells us right here. It's to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in everything. That is God's will. You never have to wonder if that's God's will for your life or not, because it is. It's his will for every Christian. So let's meditate on these three commands this morning. First of all, he says, rejoice always. Now, there's a difference between rejoicing and being happy. Non-Christians can experience happiness. Non-Christians can't experience this kind of joy, because this kind of joy is in the Lord. In Philippians 4, I think it's verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. That's where the joy of the Christian comes from. You see, the word happiness comes from the word happenstances, or what happens to you. It's circumstantial. If your circumstances are lining up well, you feel happy. If your circumstances are not lining up well, you don't feel happy. Well, that's not what the Christian is called to experience. He's called to experience continual joy, because joy does not depend on what happens to you or your circumstances. Your joy, where is your joy found? In the Lord, in your relationship to the Lord. Does the Lord ever change? So why would your joy ever change? You're rejoicing in him. He never changes. So you can have that kind of joy no matter what you're going through. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. So he experienced sorrow, but he experienced joy at the same time. You say, how can you do that? Well, it's possible as for a Christian. Yes, Christians experience sorrow and grief. Of course we do. If we lose a loved one, we grieve over that. We have sorrow over that. But it is possible to find our joy in the Lord at the same time that we're experiencing grief and sorrow. It may sound crazy, but it is a reality for a child of God. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus doesn't change. We do. Our circumstances do. But he doesn't. So let's think for a minute of a few things in which the Lord never changes. Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Is that changing? Nope. He's the sovereign one. Christ is full of great love, rich in mercy, and full of grace. Grace upon grace, Scripture says. Is that going to change? Absolutely not. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. What about that? That will not change ever. The Scripture says that the Lord will never leave us or forsake us. Is that promise going to be broken by the Lord? Absolutely not. Christ has been exalted to the supreme place in all the universe. Well, that's not going to change either. So if your joy is in those kinds of things, then your joy doesn't need to ever go away, because those things will never go away. And I wonder, do you ever feel like you need more strength in your Christian life? Like you're feeling weak in your Christian life? Do you remember what the Scripture says about what is our strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. So what you need, if you need spiritual strength for your life, is you need the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is like one of those bobbers. You know, when you're fishing, it sits on top of the water. You can hold it down, but as soon as you let go, boom, pops up to the top. Joy causes us to buoy up to the top and experience the strength of God to face whatever trials he's bringing into our lives. So let's see if we could apply this first command to our life. Rejoice always. So, what should we as Christians do when we find ourselves feeling down and depressed and gloomy, under the weather? How do we rejoice always in that situation? I really would like some input from you. How do you do this? When you face situations like that, what do you do in order to gain your joy back in the Lord? Okay, so Willie says she prays. Does that help you find your joy again? Okay. You worship. Do you put like songs on your phone or something? On your TV? That's great. Now, does that help you to rejoice?
Oh, yes, it does.
Amen. Yes. You worship too?
I worship. I put it all the whole house.
Yeah. Amen. Anybody else have something else that you tried? Debbie?
Remind myself of God's promises.
How do you do that?
Mm. I thank him that he is at work in me, both to will and to do what gives the pleasure. So I start thinking about those verses and rejoicing in those truths.
So Jerome often reminds us that we need to preach the gospel to ourselves. That's part of this too. Like, the gospel is the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Do you ever do that? You ever preach that gospel to yourself? That would I believe that would restore our joy too.
Also, I put things around my house with certain things of Christ, like to read, certain people in my bedroom, there's certain, you know, posters that I buy or things like that. And that's what I use. And I know which ones where they're at. It just reminds me of that. So when you walk around my house, you might see something that says scripture. It's not for like the looks, but it does help me remind.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
I go to the throne of grace and I remind him of his promises for me. And I recently started while I'm having my Bible study, if I ever come across a prayer, follow prayer a lot, I write that prayer down on the index card and I tape it on my where I pray. So I have it before me continuously, and so when I am having a hard time, I can go and I can preach to myself, and I can take that prayer to the Lord. And also, if we're ever feeling that way, well, the Lord tells us, abide in me and I abide in you. And so if I'm not feeling that way, Lord, where have I stopped abiding in you? Because in your presence, there's fullness of joy.
Yeah, true.
So if we are in his presence, we are always in fullness of joy. And I always praise him because we always stand up, not how we kneel, but with that inner strength to continue in believing and having faith and trusting and going forward.
You mentioned when you find a prayer, you'll print it out.
I just write it on the index card.
Okay. Are those prayers from the Bible or some other places?
From Scripture.
Okay.
So like when Paul would pray for Timothy.
Yeah.
Or I read it and, you know, I pray that give me this, Lord.
Amen.
Also when Jesus prayed for his disciples, you know, he prays that for me today too.
This is a really good idea because sometimes we might get stuck thinking, what do I pray about, Lord? And if you have this whole sheet of paper with different prayers on it, just start praying those prayers again that you find in Scripture. Yeah. Amen. Thanks for sharing that. Debbie?
Along those same lines, I found it to be very encouraging that as I'm reading God's Word and praying that, whatever I'm reading and praying it, to my life and asking God, Lord, help me to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. So his whole word becomes a prayer.
Yeah. Amen. So whatever you're reading for that day, you try to turn that into prayer. Yeah. I like to do the same thing too. I like to do my meditation and then take some time to go sit in the brown chair and pray about the things I've just read about and lift them up to the Lord. Let me just ask you this. This says rejoice in the Lord always. Is anyone here have a difficult time with depression or starting to feel, you know, just down? Anyone like that?
Yeah.
Okay, Riley does, Craig. Okay, several of us do. So we need to fight that. We need to fight that with God's truth. Yes.
It was the greatest blessing because the Lord became my staff in such a time where I had no one or no one to turn to. And, it was a very humble state to not know, not even the streets or...
Right.
And I was starting to feel, down and discouraged. And but then the Lord started reminding me of His word. It was His spirit, trying to fight against feeling down and depression. And, you promised, Lord, that You will always be with me. Wherever I go, it does not matter if I am here or there, You are with me. And so that's how, it started, by just going to the throne of grace and finding out of His promises. You promised me this. You promised me living waters of living water flowing from my innermost being. You said, if I seek Your kingdom and Your righteousness, You'll give me all that I need, and I have the power of Your Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so just reminding Him.
Amen.
I would cry every day for an entire month when I first moved here. And the minute I went to the throne of grace, I ran and I fell on my knees and I told them, I cannot do this, but You have said this, and I'm going to take You for Your word. And ever since that day, He lifted me up, and once again has it fled. And so that's where, taking His promises, writing down the prayers, I have no one to call, or, hey, can you pray for me? Can you pray with me? I'm going through this, but the Lord, I have Him.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. How long have you lived in this area?
We moved in May.
May. Okay. So what is that? 7 months, maybe?
Yeah. But I was out of the country for a couple months.
Okay.
My dad was very ill, and so I left to take care of him.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay, so first order of business for us saints is to rejoice always. So in the year 2025, I want you to fix in your mind, that's God's will for me. It's not His will for me to mope around and be gloomy and depressed. He wants me to be rejoicing, not in my circumstances, but in Him. So this calls us back to a renewed relationship with Christ, where He is our everything, where we do spend time communing with Him. Amen? Okay, let's look at the second command. Pray without ceasing. Without ceasing. That's the hard part of this command. Pray is not a difficult command, but do it without ceasing. And we wonder, don't we? That's puzzling. What in the world did Paul mean by that? Because I can't pray all the time. Literally, I can't pray when I'm sleeping or when I'm talking to somebody else or when I'm on my work and concentrating on my work. What did he mean without ceasing? Did he literally mean every second of every day, 24 hours a day? I don't think he did. I don't think he meant it in that way. The same Greek word that is used here is used in Romans 1:9. I'll read that to you. Paul said there, God is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you in my prayers. So what did that mean for Paul? Was he praying for the Roman Christians every second of every day? I don't think that's what he meant. I think he meant that he prayed for them often and repeatedly. He kept coming back to this prayer. Whenever he went to prayer, he would think of the Roman Christians and he would pray. It might just be a one sentence prayer, or he might have a lengthy time where he intercedes for them, but repeatedly and often he would keep praying for these Roman Christians. I think that's what Paul means here in 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray repeatedly and pray often. I think it at least means that much. I think he would also, if Paul were here, I think he would also teach us that we ought to be disciplined in our prayer life. In other words, there should be times where we regularly pray. We don't just leave it up to spontaneous circumstances. Well, I guess I have an extra hour. I guess I can pray today. If you leave it up to that, you'll probably pray very, very infrequently. But if you decide ahead of time, this is my time with the Lord, and I'm going to carve that out every day, and I'm going to talk to the Lord, and I'm going to hear from Him through His word, and I'm going to pray to Him in prayer, then that is going to be something that you can count on day after day after day. I think a lot of Christians think, well, whenever it strikes me, I'll pray then. Well, you'll probably pray very infrequently. So let me just ask you at this point, do you have a time each day when you go to prayer where that's your time? You know when it's going to happen, and you keep that appointment regularly? John Wesley used to go to bed at 10 o'clock in the morning, and someone asked him, why do you go? I'm sorry, 10 o'clock at night. And they said, why do you go to bed so early? And he says, because I have an appointment with the Lord at 4:30, and I never miss that appointment. Do you have an appointment with the Lord every day that you keep that's more important than any other appointment? It's more important than your work, getting to work on time. This is the most important thing in your life, folks. Work is secondary to that. But yet we treat our appointment getting to work on time as very important, because we know we'll lose our job if we don't. Do you keep your appointment with the Lord just as priority, or even more so than your commitment to your work? So I want to encourage you, if you don't have that stated time, to even right now, think of when that could be for you. Even jot it down on a piece of paper. My appointment with the Lord is this time, this place. So that's the beginning of praying without ceasing. But it doesn't end there, does it? Because after we've had that stated time where we seek God in prayer, throughout the day, we need to be aware of the Lord's presence, conscious of His presence. And whenever anything comes into our life that day, we need to be able to quickly turn that into prayer on the fly. I call this unbroken fellowship with God. That's the Lord's will for us, is to have unbroken fellowship. So here's a test for you. Here's a test of whether something may be sin for you. Can you do that thing that you're in question about, that thing that might be sin or might not, can you do it while you're in a place of communion with God? When you're talking to the Lord, you're seeking God, could you interrupt that activity and go to God in prayer with no guilt or no shame? So I think that will help us to decide what God's will is for our life. Can you, in the middle of this activity, can you give God thanks for what you're doing? Can you praise Him for giving you the opportunity to do whatever you're doing, honestly and with a pure heart? That will tell you whether that thing is sin or not. And if you can't interrupt it to go to the Lord and speak to Him or give thanks to God, then you need to really question whether that is the will of God for your life. And if you can't do it, I would say you need to get rid of it, put it aside, repent of it, and say, I'm done with that thing. So that could be smoking, it could be drinking, it could be giving yourself to certain types of pleasures. I'm not saying all pleasure's wrong either. God has given us all kinds of wonderful pleasures to enjoy in this lifetime, but we have to be able to do them giving God thanks for them. And if we felt a sense of guilt talking to the Lord about this activity, then that's a clue to us. This is not His will for us. So how are you doing right now when it comes to praying without ceasing? Could be better. And I'd say the same thing too. I need to be more conscious of God all through the day. Right? I never have to come into God's presence, because I know I'm already there, because I'm living in His presence 24 hours a day. That's the goal. Right? That's the goal of the Christian life. In Colossians 4:2, Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. And that word devote, it's a strong word. That's the word that we use of a mother who's devoted to her little baby, of taking care of that little baby. When we're devoted to prayer, it means it's something that we give a lot of attention and priority to. So in 2025, not only do we need to rejoice always, but we need to pray without ceasing. So seek to cultivate a God consciousness and an awareness of God's presence with you. And unbroken fellowship with the Lord. Okay, our third area that Paul tells us. He says, in everything give thanks. And recently I became sort of fascinated with this idea of giving thanks, because I saw how often in the New Testament we are told that we should be giving thanks. It's not something that occurs just once in a blue moon in the Bible. It comes up all the time, especially in the letters. Let me give you a few samples here, like Ephesians 5:4. Paul says, "There must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather," what? "Giving of thanks." So, for Christians, silly talk, coarse jesting, filthiness, that's not fitting. It's not fitting for a child of God. What he ought to be giving himself to is giving thanks. Or Ephesians 5:20, Paul says, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." Now, did you notice the little word "for"? See, 1 Thessalonians 5 says that we are to give thanks in everything. This one says we are to give thanks for everything. And there's a difference. It's a lot easier to give thanks in everything than it is to give thanks for everything. Because sometimes we experience things that are really painful. And how do you give thanks for something that's painful in your life? Okay. Okay.
That encourages us. And,
yes.
You know, that he goes
before us. So you're looking beyond the pain to the purpose of God in the pain.
Right.
And you're saying, wow, God has a special purpose in that.
Right.
It doesn't feel good. It hurts.
Right.
But if I can look above it, I can see that God has a sovereign purpose in allowing that thing in my life. Yeah.
He yelled, "The Lord, save me or I'll perish."
Yeah.
It was like because he removed his eyes from the one.
Yeah.
They want to be that, how it reminds us, keep your eyes fixed on him. And
amen.
Don't be discouraged by your circumstances.
One of the most famous verses, popular verses in all the Bible, is Romans 8:28. But if you will memorize that and call it to mind in the midst of your pain, it's going to help you. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So I would encourage you, if you don't have that memorized, memorize that verse and learn to repeat it back to yourself when you're going through whatever it is. Because God does have a purpose in everything in our life. It doesn't say he causes some things to work for good. It's everything. Everything that goes on. He's working that thing for your good.
I have to touch on a little something.
Yeah.
I came home from work maybe like two nights ago. Was it two nights or the night before? And I was just, everyone was sleeping. I was watching a video on YouTube. Oh, I was just scrolling. And I came across this video and it was talking about like, it may not be for all Christians, but it's for me. It was talking about like why Christians or the chosen ones are financially struggling, you know, and I was like, man, you know, that's been a question on my mind for a while. Like, you know, I have a decent job with decent pay, you know, and like, I feel like, man, I'm always broke or I'm always struggling financially. But like, then I look at like what we have in our home, like, you know, we have our fridge, got some food in it, you know, we got toilet paper, we have to take showers. We got what we need, you know,
yeah.
This and that, what we need to get by. So, you know, I just thank him for that always, you know, because me wondering, like, why, you know, why am I broke? Why am I struggling financially? Why is this? But then I reflect on what I do have.
Yeah, very good. Amen.
Yeah, that's been big question on me, like, why am I financially struggling so bad?
Yeah.
I'm not really struggling, so I have what I need, you know. He gives us what we need.
Amen. That's good. That's really good. Philippians 4:6, I'm sure you're aware of this passage. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we're to worry about nothing. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And as part of your prayer, he says, do it with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving should be part of our prayer life. When you go to prayer, pray, don't forget to thank God. Don't forget to bless him and worship him and honor him. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So he says, whatever you do, whether it's speaking your word or whether it's something you do, your deed, whatever it is, do it by giving thanks through Christ to God the Father. And then Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Or Hebrews 13:15, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And then we have Revelation 4:9-11. When the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. So here it speaks about these living creatures giving glory and honor and thanks. Even in heaven, we are going to be thanking. It's not just for this life, it's for the life to come. Thanksgiving is like it's like when you get something new that really looks good on you. You know, you think, wow, I really look good in this thing. Thanksgiving is like that set of clothes. You put it on and it's fitting. It's befitting for a child of God. He looks good when he's thanking God. It's appropriate for him because we are debtors to grace, aren't we? Everything we have in this life is by the grace of God. And so we ought to be giving thanks for everything that we have in this life. And what do you call a person who's always thanking, who's always joyful, who's always praying? What is that person like? He's a blessed person. He's a happy person. He's positive. He's well-adjusted. He's someone that you like to be around, right? He's not one of those people that you just want to avoid. You're attracted to that kind of a person. God wants us to be winsome and attractive and happy and joyful and thankful people. And so he's told us, this is the way I want you to live your life always. Not just for a few minutes a day. This is to be the lifestyle, the character of the Christian. So the whole goal of the Christian life, through the cross, Jesus Christ has reconciled us to himself. Now we are to live in unbroken fellowship with God. Now that we have been reconciled, we're not to walk away and then have to come back. He wants to live in his presence continually. And so that's my exhortation for you to take away from this message. In 2025, let's seek to live in unbroken fellowship with the Lord, rejoicing, praying, and thanking. Amen. Lord, we do ask that you'd help us. We pray, Lord, that you'd make us more aware of the times when we are just kind of in our heart walking away from you or not paying any attention to you. We pray, Lord, that even in our shopping, our day-to-day tasks, our errands that we're running, the work that we do around the house, spending time with children or spouses, Lord, whatever that happens to be, Lord, we pray that we would rejoice, pray, and thank during that time. Make us fitting, lovely, attractive Christians, Lord, by wearing these garments continually in our life. Make us joyful. Make us prayer warriors. Make us thankful, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit who lives in us would continually remind us of these things in 2025. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Anybody have any final thoughts on that?